The NFL League Office upholding Mike Evans's one-game suspension yesterday. Evans is now going to miss the Bucs game this weekend against the Packers. The punishment was given by NFL Vice President of Football Operations John Runyon Sr., whose son, John Runyon Jr., plays for the Packers. Shannon, do you have any problem with John Runyon Sr. ruling on this case?
I don't. It's just Tampa's fans' way of buying into conspiracy theories and saying someone has it out against them. So where do we draw the line? So now we're not allowed to rule on anybody on the NFC North because they're in the division with the Green Bay Packers because it could benefit my son. I can't rule on anybody in the NFC East because I played with the Eagles because that might benefit my team. So where do we draw the line? Mike Evans deserved to be suspended. He is a repeat offender for this type of behavior. The play was completely over. Mike Evans was going off the field. He was one step. He was about to put his left foot over the sideline to be out of the field of play. He beelines, turns around, sees who it is, and moves, angles his way to shove Marshon Lattimore. It's a dead ball, unsportsmanlike conduct, unnecessary roughness. He's a repeat offender. He deserved to be suspended. Don't buy into these conspiracy theories like, oh, John Runyon, that's his son over there. Yeah, let's get Mike Evans. I can assure you, when that man went to bed on Saturday night and woke up, he was not thinking, you know what? I sure hope somebody from Tampa does something because they play my son team next week and I'm just looking to suspend someone. Okay, let's just say for the sake of argument, he suspended him. There's an appeals process. It went to James Thrash. Like I told you, it was because Derrick Brooks is also the other guy. But Derrick Brooks got direct ties.
What was the first point that you made to me?
Yeah.
Derrick Brooks can't do this. He's Mr. Tampa Bay, right? Yeah. He's Mr. Buccaneer.
John Runyon didn't play for the Packers.
No. Nope.
John Runyon oversees league discipline. If you don't like his outcome, and there have been times that it's gone to Brooks, it's gone to Thrash, and he's like, no, it's not a three-game, it's a one-game, or it's a no-game suspension. And he's like, okay, hey, this is what I saw. You two guys, they appeal it to you two guys. Boom, it is what it is. Or sometimes maybe it's a fine. But no, Mike Evans deserved to be suspended for doing what he did again. Blame Tom Brady for putting Mike Evans in this situation.
And I did.
No. I need Tampa fans. I know you did because you understand what happened. This would have never happened had Tom Brady kept his mouth shut and not approached Marshon Lattimore and kept proceeding the way he was going, which was talk to the back judge.
That is the truth.
That's all he had to do.
In my life, I've never seen any other quarterback in the history of professional football do what Brady often does, which is run all the way down the field to get in a ref's face or ultimately in a DB's face.
Because remember last year, he got fined for unsportsmanlike conduct for cursing the official. And if I'm not mistaken, it might have been the Rams game. He didn't get fined, but they threw a flag on him because he was cursing and carrying on about the hits.
And remember, he ran over to Dennis Allen as he was being shut out 9-0, and they had taken out Godwin with a low blow. Yeah. Who was it? I can't remember.
I think it was Malcolm Jenkins,
yeah. And he runs to Dennis Allen and just...
You told him to F yourself.
Yep, he did. Okay, that's Brady. Okay. Shannon Sharp. I think as a Pro Football Hall of Famer, you do have to at least slightly admit that this isn't the best look for the National Football League. It fell into the wrong place at the wrong time because this game is at hand between Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers in Tampa. And it's a big deal, live on Fox, late afternoon window. It's a big game, big deal. So this is more spotlighted than it would be usually. And it does have the wrong smell to it. It doesn't pass the smell test because he is the father of the starting, what is he, the left guard, or he's one of the guards for Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And it just hit me. Do I believe there's conspiracy here? But how do you know what's in a man's heart? It's just you're putting everybody in the wrong place to do the wrong
you
thing.
You did that, though.
But if you let Derrick Brooks do it.
He did.
I know. I got it. But if you let him and he ruled in favor of Mike Evans, then you would say, oh, well, obviously he did.
But here's the thing, though, Skip. Now, maybe if you wanted to say there's someone that serves under John Runyon that should have heard this appeal. But issue because it was quick. Skip, it was like the next day, they're like, okay, Mike Evans is going to be suspended. And they say, I'm gonna appeal it. Wednesday, they says, okay, you hear the appeal? No, it's upheld. So it was no dilly-dallying around. I don't believe it, Skip. John Runyon played a long time in the league.
He did.
John Runyon know a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be coming up. Well, you know, I played with his father. I played against his dad.
Yeah, he's mostly in Philly, played in San Diego for a while. But
yeah.
Okay.
And he was a politician.
He was a congressman for New Jersey, a Republican congressman. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Served, I think, a couple of terms.
Right.
Also, quick point of order on him, not that it matters, but when he was a player, when he was an offensive lineman, he was known, even Sports Illustrated ranked him as one of the dirtiest players in the league. Yeah. And Sean Merriman had the classic quote, is he's real good at being dirty.
Yeah.
And Runyon said, well, it's just the way the rules were, it almost encouraged you to play dirty.
Of course.
But it's just ironic. Now he's ruling on dirty play. Maybe it takes one to know one. Is that
exactly
how it goes?
That's the thing. You know what's dirty. You know what. Like, hold on, bro. I did that. That's dirty play.
Okay.
But Skip, I believe, and Mike Evans and his representative try to say, well, look at A.J. Green and Jalen Ramsey.
They did. They were swinging on each other.
Yeah, that was actually when A.J. Green took him down, the play was still going on. It wasn't a dead ball. This was dead. It was Skip, he was walking off the field. Now, he could have easily just, you know, went back and see what was going on. He was stepping off the field. It had been going on for like 20, 30 seconds. He beelines and shoves him.
Okay, but what was his explanation for it? What was his, how did he try to defend himself? He said, look, when I got suspended in 2017,
yes,
I didn't even get ejected during the game.
Right.
And I got a running start and hit him in the back and knocked him over.
Right.
And there is obviously bad blood that is built between the two of them. So he's saying, in this case, I didn't hit him in the back. I went straight on.
Right.
And you made the case, well, he barely had time to even look up and he got hit and knocked back.
Right.
I don't think he was that dangerous. I don't think he was in danger. But whatever. You could argue because he did get a running start and shoved him down. Something could have gone wrong.
Right.
But Mike Evans is saying, I turned and glanced, and obviously the next thing he's told the referee was, come on, that's Tom Brady. Well, so the first thought is, I got to defend my quarterback. The second thought is, he said that he thought that Marshawn punched Leonard Fournette, and he swipes up under his chin.
Right.
It didn't look like it was a close fist.
He tried to shove him in his...
Okay, his hand goes up under, But Mike Evans said, when I glanced, it looked like a punch, and so I'm going to literally run to the defense of my teammate.
And that's what happens when you're walking off the field with your back turned.
Yeah.
Because he never saw Leonard Fournette shove Marshawn Lattimore.
No.
See, what happened is that Tom Brady talked, they got everybody. It's the girlfriend running her mouth, talking, and the boyfriend got to cash the check that she writing.
Okay.
Tom Brady writing the check that his teammates got to cash. Mm-hmm. Now, Tom Brady got Mike Evans suspended. Tom Brady had to do.
Well, he admitted as much on his podcast.
Yeah.
He said, I shouldn't have been down there. If I hadn't gone down there, none of this would have happened.
None of this would have happened.
Because it wouldn't have.
It wouldn't have.
He was the instigator.
Yes.
He was the fire starter.
So don't blame John Runyon for doing his job. That's his job, to oversee punishment by players on game, in-game, on-field punishment. That's his job, to be disciplinarian. Now, you don't like his outcome? Okay, go appeal it. Brooks is going to handle it. James Thrash is going to handle it. And then you move from there. But to start this conspiracy theory, it's about, his son is on the Packers. So what? So if anybody from the Detroit Lions, Chicago Bears, or the Minnesota Vikings, John Runyon, because that could potentially help his son who plays for the Packers.
Well, it does help his son. I don't care what you say. It does.
Okay, so if Dallas Cowboys or if the Washington football team, the Giants, he can't rule on that. Because that could potentially help his team. He played for the Eagles. That's where he cut his teeth.
Okay, but it would have to come up on the eve of a game against Green Bay.
No, so, no, it doesn't have to.
Because, well, I'm just saying.
Because if you lose the game, that's helped my team. Because my team win, your team lose because one of your key players is out. It just so happens. It so magically happened that the second game of the season, this is what occurred, and on the third game of the season, you're playing the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
That's a coincidence.
All right. Is there anybody else in the league office who could have been assigned to rule on this? I'm sure there is, right?
I believe everybody.
Just because it's not the right look. It's father and son. He's literally named it. He's Junior.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Plays the same position his father played, and you can't tell me his father isn't just proudest punch over the kid
I'm
starting
sure, I'm
for
sure
the Green
is.
Bay Packers. He's once a 6th-round draft choice. out of Michigan, a la Tom Brady. But he starts for the Packers.
Yeah.
He was two-time first-team All-Big Ten.
Okay. I do not believe that John Runyon, I'm not going to even throw that out there. Hey, obviously, that's a, I do not believe that John Runyon, when he was ruling on this case, was thinking, yeah, this is going to really help my son.
Okay, but that's a front-of-mind thought. Is there a subliminal thought that
so you
can't
in,
even...
You buy it in this conspiracy theory. See, that's well, how they thought. Okay, that's
but
how they start.
I just know how fathers are with sons. And deep down in the depths of your psyche, there's a little voice saying, you got to help your son.
No, no.
Why wouldn't you? Why?
Because that's not the way you're supposed to do it.
Okay, and remember, Mike Evans does have the case to make that he did get ejected from the game.
Right.
So that was 12:30
yes.
left. So
right.
For the last 12 and a half minutes of the game, he was not available.
So why was
Marshawn
Lattimore ejected?
Lattimore, yeah.
Why was he ejected? Because he didn't do anything.
Well, he punched Leonard Fournette.
He shoved Leonard Fournette after Leonard Fournette shoved him.
Well,
Mike Evans had
okay, well, how many times have we seen that happen where the retaliator gets ejected?
How many times must Mike Evans get a running start and shove somebody in the back before he realizes, you know what, doing a
but
dead
not
ball?
Not in the back, in the front.
Okay, how many times is he going to get a running start and shove someone before he realizes during a dead ball you can't do that? How many unnecessary roughness? How many unsportsmanlike conduct?
I would think this would be it.
Oh, you think so? I would have thought the last one would have been it.
Yeah.
But clearly that wasn't it.
Okay, and the quick trigger occurs because you do not like that guy, and you have gone at it with that guy now for years.
Oh, yeah.
In Lattimore, they are do not invite him.
Skip, you know I'm a firm believer in that look. I ain't going to do it to you like that. But I'm going to get you in the field of play.
Okay.
Because, you know, y'all run the ball. Tampa does run the ball. I'm going to chop him. I'm going to cut him. Yeah. I'm going to get him back. I'm going to get you back if you do something dirty to me. Or if you do something to my quarterback, you hit my quarterback, you get my quarterback with a cheap shot.
Yep.
Hey, John, why are you arguing with him? Let me handle this. Let me do this. I got this. Mike, run weak side handoff. I get him.
All right. Okay, that's another way to do it.
Yeah, I'm going
to
get him.
Yeah.
It's going to look just like it was a play. Man, you see how sharp I got? Hey, man, I'm just blocking.
Okay.
I'm just doing my job.
And you're probably right. That's not ejectable or suspendable.
No, because it's legal. You could chop block.
Yeah.
Off defensive linemen, they knew it. First of all, Skip, they knew they were playing the Broncos. Heels were going to be in the air like a cockroach.
Mm-hmm.
You already knew that.
I got
now,
it.
I can be dirty with it and put you out for a couple of weeks. Or I can make it, you know, get you on the ground and, hey, you lead the game, your pants are a little dirty, but guess what? You're no worse for the wear. Or you can do something dirty to my teammate. I see it. Or they tell me, then I got to get you.
Mm. Final point from Runyon Jr. I thought he poured a little gasoline on the fire that will not play well in Tom Brady's locker room when he said of Mike Evans, it was a lapse in judgment on the field. Sometimes that stuff happens, and he goes on to say, you can't be running 15 yards trying to headhunt somebody when the play's over.
Yeah.
Well, that's a little strong and a little exaggerated because I don't think that Mike Evans was headhunting someone.
He was trying to get him. He was trying to get him.
Trying to headhunt
him? Yeah.
You just shoved him down right in his face. You went face-to-face and shoved
Skip,
him down. That's not headhunting.
Skip, you driving a car, and all of a sudden, the last second, you look up like, oh, I saw him and slam on brakes, and you hit the car. Well, even though if you don't ram him in the back, at the last second, okay, Marshawn Lattimore sees him in the last, by that time, he doesn't have any time to brace himself. Look how he fell. You think Marshawn Lattimore would have just stood there, even if he sees Mike Evans running, you think he's just going to stand there like, okay, you're running towards me. I wonder what he's going to do. He's running. Damn, this man looking dead at me. I wonder what he's going to do. You think Marshawn Lattimore's going to stand there? Of course not.
Okay, but the ways you described in play, those are headhunting plays.
That was headhunting.
Retaliation
Skip,
plays.
Can we run that tape back? Look how he looks around. He's trying to find a path. He's trying to veer around the guy. Watch what he does. Skip, look at this. Watch what he does. Now, you tell me he's not headhunting. I shove you back. Look, come on. See, he has to go around Tom. Look at this. Look what he does. Look how he has to go around Tom.
Headhunting.
He has to go around Tom.
He's playing patty cake with
whatever.
Well, come on.
Really,
that's not headhunting to
Skip,
me.
You know, if I'm standing still.
Was Marshawn in danger of losing his head? I think not.
He shoved him right in his face. But here's the thing, Skip. You know, if I'm standing still, even if I walk briskly, think about how many times, you know, somebody bump you and almost knock you off balance. So imagine if somebody gets a running start. I ain't got to hit you that hard to knock you on your butt. Look at this. He looked at the very, I mean, it was like, by the time he looked and saw him coming from behind Brady, look, because he's looking at Marshall Adams, he's standing right there between Brady. One game, that's all it took. Mm. I mean, I guess you didn't learn your lesson last time, huh?
But you detail it like he should have been gone for six
games. No, I said a game. Skip, that's what I told you. You asked me whether he's going to be suspended. I said, you're going to get a game. You're going to get a game.
Well, the silver lining is the Bucs are the most united team in pro football. That's number one. And number two, they will take this very personally and very seriously and take it out on Green Bay this Sunday in Tampa Bay.
Got no problem with that.
Okay.
No problem whatsoever.
Good.
But you and I both know he deserved to be suspended.
I don't know that.
You do know that.
And I still say you got to assign somebody else because it doesn't smell right.
It smelled good to me.
I'm sure it did, but you don't like Tom Brady.
I don't got no problem with Tom Brady. I don't like Tom Brady doing what getting other people in his fracas. That's what I don't like. Writing check. No, you cash that check yourself.
We're going to go deeper into this in just a few minutes, but Tom Brady decided to practice when he wasn't even supposed to yesterday, and this may have had something to do with that.
Well, damn. I mean, Allen Iverson practiced.
Yeah, he's practiced.
Not the game. Yeah. Practice.
Okay.
Best quote ever still. Guys, that matchup is America's Game of the Week on NFL on Fox. Certainly must-see TV.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, hey, Shannon, Shams is reporting that the Lakers have continued talks with the Pacers about a potential trade. The deal involved Indiana giving up Buddy Hield and Miles Turner for two unprotected first-round picks. L.A. thought, that request's a little too high. All right, Shannon, prediction time. How does this one play out?
Skip, they've been carrying on this conversation for the better part of 3 or 4 months.
Yep.
Indiana knows. You want to get off Russ. We absolutely know that.
Yep.
The Lakers, we know that Indiana wants to trade Miles Turner and Buddy Hield.
Yep.
Indiana says, look, we want those first-round draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Both. B-O-A-F. Both.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're not giving them up, why do you keep calling my phone, Rob Pelinka?
I told you
what I wanted.
I agree.
I know you got to get rid of Russ. I know you don't want Russ there. We know Russ doesn't want to be there.
Mm.
But if you're not giving up no first-round picks, now stop calling my phone. You're wasting my minutes. I only got so many minutes per month, and you done used up about half of them.
Mm-hmm.
Call it with some bull jive. No. No, no, no. You cannot have Miles Turner. You cannot have Buddy Hield for Russell Westbrook in a 2027. I need you to kick in that 2029 also. Skip, when Russ and his agent was parting Ray Forche, what did he say? It's going to take added compensation for you to get Russ off your team.
That is correct.
It's as simple as that. That's what he said.
He said it.
Everybody knows it. They know you want to hold on to it. I know you want to get rid of him.
Mm.
Yep. What you going to do, Lakers? Do you want him or not? Do you want Buddy Hield and Miles Turner?
Because
if you do, you can have him. Now, the thing that the Lakers are saying, well, if they so sought after, why haven't you traded them already? Because they're saying, look, the teams that could potentially want these guys, okay, they offering picks, but we know in 2027 and 2029, LeBron James ain't going to be there. And there's probably a 50, 75% chance Anthony Davis is not going to be there.
Yep.
So there's a 100% chance that those picks in 2027 and 2029 could be top five.
Mm.
So this is what we want. Now, if you want the guys, give us Russ and those two first-round picks, and you can have Buddy Hield and you can have Miles Turner. If you don't, will you please stop wasting my time? Because every time my secretary calls me and she says, Rob's on the phone, I tell him I'm not in.
Mm.
Tell him I'm not in.
Mm-hmm.
He said he's not in. That happened actually one time, Skip. My grandfather, my aunt answered the phone, and my grandfather didn't want to talk. And he told my aunt to tell the person, tell him I'm not here. She gets back on the phone. He says he's not here. That's what the secretary told Rob Pelinka.
Mm-hmm.
The GM says he don't want to talk to you until you got two first-round picks for him. But he's not in. So that's where we are, Skip. And my thing is, Skip, should you already have this already settled? You keep fighting guards, and you still got Russ on your team.
You do.
I would have thought, so you know what? We ain't got Russ on the team right now, and so we need to add another playmaking guard. Let's do it. You keep adding these potentially playmaking guards, and you still get the guy on your team.
Interesting. To your point, it feels like this is almost nightly torture on Twitter for Laker Nation because these reports just keep rearing their ugly heads and everybody goes berserk about, oh, my God, we almost had Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, and we could have them, and I'm not even sure you could have them. I don't even know. Who knows what has gone on in these conversations? Yeah. But it's also possible other players are being discussed. I can't even begin to speculate, but Kendrick Nunn or Toscano Anderson or all the – you got Thomas Bryant and Lonnie Walker and Troy Brown. You got all these new players you've acquired who are still movable. You could.
Right.
Are you trying to do a package for one, for just Buddy Hield or for just Miles Turner?
Skip.
I don't know.
The most important thing to them are those first-round picks.
Yep.
That's what they want more than anything. I'm not so sure now. We don't know, but are they going to buy Russ out? Because
Indiana.
It seems to me that most.
He has made it very clear. I will take no 75 cents on the dollar buyout.
Take a John Wall. John Wall he was supposed to make 47. He took 41, went and made 2 years, $13 million, recouped the money. So basically, he got the money back. The question is, does Russ feel confident in his game enough that says, okay, y'all want to buy me out? Okay, I'll take 90 cents on the dollar and then go somewhere and says, okay, I'll latch on for $6.5, $7 million to recoup the money. Does he believe in himself that much?
Okay, I got it. I'm going to say it again. What this boils down to is Jeannie Buss's resentment over the fact that she gave in to LeBron and Anthony, who pushed hard for her to go or them to go get Russell Westbrook.
Right.
In lieu of going to get Buddy Hield, and a deal seemed to be, by widely reported sources, a deal seemed to be in place for Buddy Hield from Sacramento to the Lakers last year. Buddy Hield is a nice fit for LeBron because
the catch-and-shoot three-point shooter.
And he's 40% for his career.
Yeah.
He's 40%.
Mm-hmm.
He's a dead-eye to me.
Yes.
And to me, in the time I've watched him, because I watched him closely at Oklahoma, but he's pretty clutch. I mean, he'll make some big threes. He made some big ones on the Lakers last year. Remember the double overtime game?
It was triple overtime, wasn't it?
Triple overtime.
Yes.
And LeBron missed a couple of walk-offs in one game.
Yep.
But Buddy Hield made a bunch of big shots in that game.
Yes, yes.
That's just who he is and what he is. Does he defend at a high level? He does not.
He should fit right in.
Okay, he should fit right in. But where he doesn't fit in a good way, is he can actually shoot it.
Yes.
Whereas Russ can't shoot it a lick.
Right.
Okay, so that would have been a better, obviously it's 2020 hindsight, but even you, to your credit, you were just pounding your side of the table saying, just do Buddy Hield.
Buddy Hield.
And be done with it. Because you thought Russ just wouldn't fit with LeBron.
No, they don't fit.
And not only would he not fit, but he got exposed.
And he wouldn't try to fit.
He wouldn't try to fit, but he's a liability in 20 different ways.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like the way he got exposed on the grand stage that is Staples/the Crypt.
Yeah.
It was his dream come true, nightmare come true for Russ, who grew up a big Laker fan out here in Southern California.
Right.
Okay, so the point is, Jeannie is still, to me, resentful that she gave in to her superstars and said, okay, I gave you what you guys wanted.
Right.
And it blew up in all our faces.
Right.
And now I'm stuck with a second year because it wasn't a one-year commitment. It was a two-year commitment.
Yeah.
At $47 million next year.
And I get it, Skip. I'm ready. Like, if it's a one-year deal, I can get off it at the end of 1 year.
Yeah.
But, Skip, it's like with anything. I mean, any investment, it's hard for me to believe that everything Warren Buffett has ever invested in is turned to cash.
Yep.
And so sometimes you have to take. But the one thing that I do know is that you have to be ready to move on from losing assets assets that are liabilities. You got to be able to give up on those and keep it moving.
Okay, but all she cares about is she plans to be around for a while, and she doubts that LeBron's going to be around as a Laker for more than 2 years.
Well, she gave him a 2 year plus option. You got him this year and next year for sure. Okay. You do know the one and done's about to come.
I got it. It sounds, but it's going to be another year for
right.
that.
Right, 23, 24, okay. I guess.
But the point is, we're talking about 2027. It's now 22, so that's 5 years.
And it'll be here before you know it.
Then I should fire back at you. LeBron will be retired before you know it.
No, stop that.
Well, he will.
Stop that. I remember I was just thinking the other day, I was in my house thinking. I was like, man, I remember I was sitting in my dorm room at Savannah State. I was 19. And here I'm sitting in my palatial estate up in Malibu at 54. Where did the time go?
Where did it go?
The same thing going to happen.
LeBron's going to say that.
No, LeBron.
Where did it go?
LeBron got 3-4 more years.
Okay, all right. But that's still not enough because we got to go out to 27, and then we got to go out to 29.
You remember the last couple of years with Kobe, and then the last years before LeBron came, those years before LeBron came, they was getting Brandon Ingrams, second pick in the draft. You're getting Julius Randle. I think he was the 7th or 9th pick in the draft. You were getting those. You got Lonzo Ball, 2nd pick in the draft. Yeah. So with no LeBron, possibly no AD, that's what they're looking. That's what Jeannie Buss is looking at.
Okay.
Now, some 7th grader.
All right, well, that's what I'm saying. There's some kid named Billy Smith somewhere that we don't even know about who's going to be the next LeBron James. Right. I don't know. He's somewhere out there. Yeah. You don't know yet.
Right.
And Jeannie's sitting there saying, these are unprotected picks.
Right.
What if I give away one that could have landed me, Billy Smith, out here in La La Land?
Yep.
And I gave it away. And she's thinking, then I look back on Buddy Hield's career. He's 29 going on 30, but could he give them, I don't know, a couple, three really good years? He might or he might not. I don't know. And she might say, wait a second. I gave up Billy Smith for Buddy Hield.
Right.
And it could be an all-time nightmare for
her. The biggest thing, Skip, is that the distraction that is going to be about talking about this transaction that hasn't happened and might not happen. The Pacers have all the leverage. Everybody know the Pacers are going to be bad this year.
I'm actually surprised that they would even consider on the eve of training camps opening early next week, Tuesday, that you would give up a 40% three-point shooter and
a guy that led the league in blocks.
Twice he's led Miles.
Stretch. He's a tremendous defender, but tremendous. he can knock down threes. Skip.
He's only 25.
And now you can put him at the 5, put Anthony Davis back in his natural position. I think he's going to play his natural position anyway because they did sign Damon Jones. They had him there. They let him go. Had him a couple of 10-day contracts. They let him go. Played really well. Great lob. He can defend. You got Thomas Bryant, who seems to be playing who's having a pretty good offseason from what indication that I've been reading.
Yep.
So AD is going back to his natural position, the position that he likes to play. But I think Miles Turner is better than all of those guys. He's better than Damon Jones. I believe he's better than
Thomas
Bryant.
There's no doubt.
So.
No, but just in a vacuum, if I just sit back, if you could, in one fell swoop, if Indiana would take Russ's $47 million or do whatever they're going to do with it, and they would give you Buddy Hield and Miles Turner for those two picks, it would be eureka euphoria for your Lakers because you want to talk about That's championship fodder right there, where all of a sudden, if you stick them in your rotation, you're pretty great.
Because you got two guys that can defend at a high level, that can protect the paint. Miles Turner is tremendous. Anthony Davis, weak side, is helping. And you got Austin Reeves, who's a defender.
Yep.
So, they would definitely be moving on up there. I would like to see your Clippers try to deal with that.
Well, it would be a lot to deal with. You'd have stars in your eyes because all of a sudden – I like the Pat Bev pickup, and I like the Sugar Ree pickup.
Yeah, I forgot Pat Bev. Yeah, so we got guys that can defend, and so it wouldn't look like a layup line because last year it looked like a layup line going to the basketball. They could not keep anybody out the paint. And then when guys came to help, they dish, and guys had wide-open splash threes.
Okay, but Jeannie's saying, I'm not going to pay now to have to pay later. You know, like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give you my future for your present, LeBron. I'm not going to do it. And I'm sure somewhere LeBron is seething over this one, because if, in fact, they would do it, he's like, why the hell not?
Well, we're going to try to wait him out. We feel that the market was going to correct itself. Just like, you know, hey, the Fed's raised, what, 0.75 points?
Yeah.
So we could combat this inflation. So the market's going to correct. I'm just waiting. Got my eye on a couple of pieces of watches. They're high right now, but I'm watching them. They're going to come down. Market's going to come down. It's going to correct.
Really?
Yeah, they're probably going to keep going up now.
Yeah. I remind you, you went 33-49 and missed the play-in tournament.
Wins are going up.
The play-in tournament?
Didn't I just tell you the market's going to correct? The market's going to correct.
It's going to have to correct a lot.
Go correct 17 games at
really?
Least. Put two cases. Put five cases on there. Win 50 games.
I won't.
I didn't think so.
The market cannot correct Father Time. That's the one thing it cannot correct.
Do you see him on there?
Huh?
You see him shooting the flag? You say he look good, don't he? Oh, goat. He look good, don't he, Skip?
On something he posted?
Yeah. LeBron 20, the 20s.
Yeah.
Don't they look fly?
Which iPhone are we up to now?
14.
Do you know what magic it can make?
There ain't no magic. There ain't no magic. No. There ain't no magic.
That's how it can deceive?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. That's lie. You know that commercial is a lie with it, Memorex?
Yeah.
That lie. That's good. Yeah.
It's called editing.
They don't know. He don't do that.
Mm.
He don't do that.
No?
Skip, why do you got to edit? You don't edit perfection.
Mm.
When was the last time you see somebody edit a 300 ball or bowling? Perfect game, but you don't have to edit. That is perfection. Leave it alone.
Between LeBron and Russ posting videos where they go bang, bang, bang. They're making 3, 3, 3. And I'm thinking, how many did they miss before they got 3 threes in a row?
I mean, once LeBron get warm, I mean, he could easily make 10, 15 in a row.
Really?
Yeah.
Why don't we ever see that?
Moving from side to side. That short corner.
Really?
And at the top. I keep telling him, especially he'd be looking at that. He looked out of that hand.
Really?
You ready?
Huh.
Well,
how do you defend the stat last year that he took the 15th most threes in the NBA and in 3-point shooting percentage, he ranked 93rd?
How do you?
Does that include any 15 in a row?
The oldest man ever to average 30.
Huh.
By 5 years.
Really?
By five.
Huh. I would say he's a liability from the 3-point line and the free throw line.
I would appreciate
it. And somebody tells me he's in the lab, and I don't know what he's doing except trying to grow hair in the lab. Other than that, I don't know.
You dirty. Mm-hmm. I would appreciate it if you do not mention LeBron James and liability in the same sentence.
Well,
because that's oxymoronic. It's like Quiet Riot,
which is
Jumbo
moronic
Crit.
Is what it
no,
is.
No, that's, yeah. they don't go together.
Yeah. If I could just pour Buddy Hield into LeBron James, I'd have something.
You got something right there. Yeah. You got the greatest player ever. Why would you want to add to that? See, you the type of guy to add raisins to potato salad. Mm. It's already a great dish. You put pecans on it. Doesn't that look? No, it don't taste good, and it doesn't look good.
I don't like potato salad, and I used to have to make tons of it. It was my job in the back of the restaurant making potato salad.
Yeah.
I despised it.
Well, see,
it's ugly.
It's a great dish.
Ugh.
You don't need to add raisins, right?
Well, it's got mayonnaise all over it.
Yeah, I'm saying. God.
I don't get it. You know what? It would be better with raisins. I should have thought of that.
Put
raisins in it.
Don't do that, dude.
Add a little spice if you ever
bought potato salad and they untucked the top off and they got raisins, you got them little raisins up there looking at me, I'm going to throw you and it out.
Really?
The cookout. Yes.
He needs to add some raisins.
No. Oh, he go. Look at that. Hair full of hair. Hair
he
lush.
He does. Look,
hair
that's a head full.
Hair right is lush.
Yeah. How old is that picture? I don't know.
No, he's 37. Huh. He got the six on. That was your last year.
Huh.
Last year was the first year in six.
Huh. Buddy Hield's got that look on his face. Yeah, I'm stuck in Indiana.
Yeah, I know it.
Right.
He ought to go to him and say, man, look, y'all get me out of here. Take that 27 pick and get me and Miles up out of here. Let us go have a chance to win.
Yeah.
Y'all did a solid for Malcolm Brogdon.
Look what
y'all took back from Malcolm Brogdon.
Nothing.
Do that for me.
That is true. Shannon, I fear you're stuck with Westbrook. Congratulations.
I think we should invite Gordon Ramsay as a guest on the show.
Yeah,
we should. Culinary debate, guys.
Yeah.
Micah Parsons' dominant play throughout his first two seasons has invited comparisons to one of the best football players of all time, Lawrence Taylor. All right, so when asked about the comps, Taylor said, quote, I don't know who the best defensive player is, but all I know is I'm always on the last page, on the last paragraph of the last sentence when they say, the greatest of all time. Until somebody tells me different, I own it. LT also said he'd analyze Micah himself when he attends that Cowboys-Giants game. Shannon, will LT's presence be a positive or a negative for Micah Parsons?
That's the LT I know. That's LT. He says, I'm on the last page, I'm in the last paragraph. Until somebody tells me different, that's where I am. He is. Until somebody, and it's going to take a lot of somebodies, not just one somebody. Yeah. It's going to take a lot of somebodies. Skip, this is a positive. This is Lawrence Taylor, the greatest defensive player. Ain't no, man, this go, you can, you, no, it's LT. And he's coming to watch me. The position I play, he made it famous. All these other great pass rushers at the linebacker position, Von Miller, Derek Thomas, Cornelius Bennett, T.J. Watt, whomever, DeMarcus Ware.
Nope.
56 with that Giants. I got the helmet. That guy right there with the LT hanging out of his ear. He's the guy. And he's coming. Oh, I'm going to put on a show. Man, Dan Jones, you in trouble. Man, ain't no telling what Michael Parsons is going to do to you. Skip, that's almost like your parents coming to see you play for the first time. Man, you got to show out. My mom came to see me play my junior year, the first time she had ever saw me play.
Yep.
I told Coach Davis, I said, Coach Davis, my mama coming to see me play. Mm-hmm. I said, hey, this. He's like, hey, go talk to Brick. I said, no, I'm talking to you. Brick was our offensive coordinator, yep. Darryl McNeil. I showed out, 5 catches, 135 yards, 3 tubs. I was done. Beat them 70-13.
You remember those numbers?
I put it on them, Skip. My mom was going to see me for the first time. Mm. Man, you think I'm not finna show out LT in the stands? LT going to be on the sideline. Normally dressed all in black. Oh, I got to do something bad. I got to do something bad today. I only last Skip. I got to do something bad today, Jones. He is the standard. And he says, you know, I hadn't seen him play, but I'm going to see him up close. I'm going to see. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you my honest assessment after the game. That's one thing about LT. He don't have no problem giving out compliments or anything like that. But this is a positive. Oh, I'm taking the Cowboys. I'm taking the Cowboys. No, don't. I'm taking the Cowboys. So don't try to coax me. No, I'm taking the Cowboys.
I want so badly to agree with you because everything – you just said, everything you just emoted is were all my emotions last night when I read this quote. And if you don't mind, I'm going to reread the first one because it's an all-time quote from the all-time greatest. I don't know who the best defensive player is. All I know is I'm on the last page of the last paragraph of the last sentence when they say the greatest of all time. Until somebody tells me different, I own it. He does. He owns it.
He does.
And I told you, the only difference that I can see so far, and Mike is still in baby stage, but that guy was a bad, as you say, mofo.
He was.
And I'm not sure Micah has that burning inside him. But the other point is, Saquon Barkley, I forgot, is close friends with Micah from their days at Penn State.
Right.
And his quote was, super freak, crazy athletic. Well, that's it.
Yes.
He might be even more super freakish athletically than
LT.
56 was.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right, so that's what he's got going for mm-hmm. him. Now to your point and to the final quote from LT, I'm quite sure – I'm going to see what he's got on Monday night because I will be there. I haven't analyzed it yet, but I will on Monday. Well, now he's put 11 from heaven on notice. Like, hey, kid, it really doesn't count till I'm standing. I assume he's going to stand on the sideline.
Oh, he's normally on the sideline. Yep.
Okay, not up in a box.
No, he's normally on the sideline.
We're talking about up close and personal.
Yes.
He's going to lay eyes on you
right.
from just right there on the
right.
sideline. What you got, kid? Because I know what I have.
Right.
And I want to see if you're even in my galaxy.
Forget all them talking heads. Yeah. You're talking to the greatest. So everybody, hey. I'm it. So whatever I say goes.
He is it. And I'm sure he will be asked for comment after the game.
So, yes.
So he will pass judgment. He will hand down from on high his judgment on 11.
He will.
You know, and we'll see what he sees that he's got.
Right.
But what I did love about Micah through the offseason, he took on every challenge without fear. Because a lot of athletes that I've known, They don't want to go to a home run hitting contest. I look like a fool,
right,
whatever. Or, you know, go hit baseballs at where the Texas Rangers
play. Yeah.
Okay. Well, he did. And he's jacking them.
Yes.
And then races. I saw at least two, I don't know, where mm-hmm. he's just fearless. He weighs 250 pounds.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, I'll race you.
Yeah.
I'll race any of you.
He's bigger than, I think LT was around 240. He's bigger than LT.
Yep.
He's bigger than LT.
Okay. Listen, LT, we're talking about force of nature here.
I think the thing is, Skip, this Gen X, you might see some clips, but you had to see it. You had some things you just need to see. I mean, you can hear it. Skip, I think the thing, I'm glad enough, I'm old enough to remember, you know, to see the destruction that Katrina caused.
Yeah.
I mean, 30 years from now, people that weren't around to get an opportunity to see it.
I agree.
To see the devastation.
Yep, I'm with you.
To see 56. To watch him actually playing games and, like, to understand, because before LT, you know, we had Mean Joe Green, you had the Dick Butkuses. I don't remember Dick Butkus, but I remember watching Mean Joe Green because I was a big Steelers fan. And then this guy came along.
From my cowboy background, Bob
Lilly.
Okay. And he was really good. He
was nobody was asking.
This is ferocity.
Yes.
This inspires terror in people's eyes across the line of scrimmage. Like, oh, my God, I can't block him. And my quarterback is in danger.
Yes.
Because he broke Joe Theismann's leg. It was a
I think they're doing a 30 for 30 on it.
Yeah.
On Theismann and LT and what happened in that situation. But he's on the field. He got no peers. Like I said, you can make a case that he's the greatest football player. It's nothing I've ever seen anything like it. And there've been some great defensive players. I don't want to shortchange the Reggie Whites and the Joe Greens and the Deion Sanders.
That guy. I'm with you. Now for the other guy. My only fear is he's 23 years of age. You have to channel emotion. You can't play over emotionally where you don't think anymore.
Right.
And you play blind. You can't play blind.
Right.
Because obviously the Giants, as Brian Daboll said, every play, we're going to know where 11 is.
Right.
Well obviously, they are. So
they knew what 56 was. They just couldn't do anything about it.
Well, and I would like to think 11 will rise into that category.
Yes.
Where you can do all you want. You can put two or three on him or whatever you want. He's still going to get you.
He's going to make
his play. Okay. So that's what's going to happen on Monday night. He's going to have to lock down and focus and do you. Do what you are. But he's going to know, and I agree with you, I think he's going to be wildly inspired by the fact that guy is right there checking me out.
Uh-huh.
He's going to grade me after the game. Do I have even an ounce of what he had?
Right.
And Mike is going to show out, I believe.
I mean, Skip, it would be the equivalent of these young running backs or a Saquon Barkley or Christian McCaffrey or whomever, Jonathan Taylor, and you look over and you see Barry Sanders or you see Emmitt or if you're one of these young wide receivers and you see Jerry Rice. Oh, I got to do this. I mean, you knew exactly who was at the game. You went somewhere and you knew all their great players from current teams. And you're like, man. Such and such. The Raiders did the best job of it because the Raiders always brought all their great players back. Always.
That was an Al Davis special.
Always. Yeah. Even the entertainers, I saw James Garner and all these, a lot of the celebs would be at the Raiders game.
Yep.
Dressed, and you like, man, that was the first time that I knew celebrities really, really enjoy football because you go and you see them all standing on the sideline before the game. You like, man, that's cool. Raiders have all the Blitnikoffs and the Jack, all those guys just lined up and you see them, you come out like, man. But to see that guy.
Okay. But all those running backs you mentioned, Emmitt or Barry Sanders, they don't have the mystique that
guy has. No. He's mythical. He's mythical.
For me personally, as a longtime diehard football fan, there's only one other man still breathing who's even in the ballpark of his mystique, and it's Jim Brown.
Yeah.
Because I've been around Mr. Brown.
Yeah. I think the thing is, Skip, this young generation don't remember.
But trust me.
But they just remember playing with Barry on Madden.
Okay, and that's fine. but it's not like what he was doing.
No. He's a guy, I mean, when he goes back, I've been to the hall. go back. I don't get back as much as I normally do. But when LT come into the room,
yep.
They know. Even the greatest, even the first ballots, they like LT shouldn't even been on the ballot. The moment LT retired, they should have just went ahead and put him in there. So what's the argument? What are we debating? What are we talking about? What do you say? Okay, Lawrence Taylor played 13 years. He was this many time All-Pro. He was an MVP, Pro Bowl, defensive player. What? LT, sit back down. Just like they did for Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, sit down. Dan Marino, sit down. There's nothing to debate. There's nothing to talk about. The same thing they're going to do with Tom. Who? Tom's presenter. What? Present what?
All you have to say is Tom Brady.
Yes.
Okay.
Certain guys, you should have to wave. Like in hockey, you're great. They'll wave the 5 years. You just go in right in after them.
Right. But Brady has no mystique to him. He inspires no awe.
No.
Because
no.
It's just textbook
right.
What happens. And he doesn't have any spectacular plays where he doesn't have signature plays he makes. He just goes and wins another Super
right.
Bowl. But you've brought this up before. If we change sports to basketball, you've been in rooms with Michael Jordan,
yeah.
As have I. And
yeah.
You say it's like he's going to levitate.
Yes.
Okay, that's a different – because that's sheer talent.
Yeah.
Where he dominated the sport. There's something different about what made him tick
mm-hmm.
that was so awe-inspiring that it gives you goosebumps.
Yeah. and you say, Skip, other guys – fear. They feared LT.
Fear.
They fear. I'm talking about, you're talking about men 6'6", mm-hmm. 310, 320, 330. They feared him. And Joe Gibbs thought so much of this man that he changed his entire offense to deal with him. I'm not scared. Think about that. You go and you change your entirety what you do. He made the left, all these left tackles, the Bakhtiari, the Trent Williams, all you guys that's making money, thank that guy.
He did.
Thank that guy right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. Because if you could not block him, if you're in the NFC, that's why Minnesota drafted Gary Zimmerman. And the Rams went and got Uri Beatman. And Washington had Joe Jacoby. And then they traded for Jim Lachey.
Mm-hmm.
You go back and look at the left tackles that everybody had to get to deal with that man.
Yep. And then Joe Gibbs invented an H-back because you need somebody
yes.
else. You can't
yes.
deal with one.
Don Warren, yes, yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Michael.
Clint Didier, yes. Those
yep.
guys, you had to have a second guy.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys were offensive linemen. You look how big those tight ends were. They were like third offensive linemen.
My fondest dream is that someday down the road, we're talking about that guy the way we're talking about
well,
the
if,
other guy.
Well, if you do, Cowboys are going to win some Super Bowls.
They will win some Super Bowls.
If you're talking about that guy like LT,
you're right.
They're
going to
win some Super Bowls.
Well, I did tell you going into this year, my team will go as far as 11 from heaven carries the defense. And I still believe it. He's not LT. He's got some potential mm-hmm. to be. And this is a big night for Micah Parsons.
Ooh, Jerry. That check, you talk about the winner of the Super Bowl, you about to have to write a check in another year that's so
yep.
big?
Yep. Agreed.
Ooh. A big night and a big spotlight, guys. Monday Night Football doesn't get much bigger than that in the regular season.